Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word and we ask that we may understand more of you today. Amen. In our first reading, our second reading, which was in Matthew, we find Jesus asking his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? But who did Jesus mean by the Son of Man? Seems an odd question. Actually, the disciples knew he meant himself, as Jesus had previously talked about himself in those terms, the Son of Man. So what Jesus is actually asking the disciples is, who do the people think that I am? Those who come to hear me teaching and heal, who do they think he is? Right. As Harry and Amy grow up, they will no doubt learn to crawl. But I guess Harry's probably not far off that, is it? Is he? No. Walk. And eventually you'll have to say goodbye at the school gate. They will find what they love to do and what they just don't. Both will have their own personality. Some will be influenced by their parents, their wider family, and their godparents. But actually, a lot will just be Harry and Amy. The personalities at the moment means that, because Amy's a bit younger, it's sleepy by time. For Harry, it's like get a bit active time. But if I came up and asked you, maybe when they've been at school, if Harry asked me, who do you think I am? Would I say Nick? Don't think so. Would I say Fred? Don't think so. Somebody came up and asked me who Amy was. All right, this is my opportunity to find names. Sorry, what's your name?
Marie-Claire.
Would they say she's Marie-Claire? Would she say that she's Jane? And yet, if you hear the reading from the Bible, when the disciples answered that question, they actually said, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Interesting response. Now, are they thinking that one of these people have come back to life? Or are they saying you're like one of them, in that he is a great prophet? A prophet was one who came and declared God's word. To say Jesus was a great prophet would tie in with his using the words Son of Man about himself. This phrase was a known phrase. For Christians today, sometimes to understand the Old Testament, it's actually quite good to go to Jewish comments about the Old Testament because we share something in common. The Old Testament part of the Bible is also the Jewish scriptures. Now, they point out that the Son of Man is actually used a common term in the Psalms, there to distinguish between God and human beings. We actually lose some of this because we've started translating the Bible again. But if you went back to the first Bible that was in English, the Authorised Version of Psalm 8, verse 4, we find, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Having spoken of our modern translations, a common one that is often used in churches is the New International Version. And that says, what is mankind that you're mindful of them, and human beings that you care for them? So the term Son of Man is actually distinguishing between humanity and deity. It's a general type of term. Jesus, in using that, is expressing his humanity. Now, another question. I wonder, if I was to go out into the streets today and ask people who Jesus was, what answer might I get? Some may well give me the answer, the Son of God, but others might say, he was a good teacher. He taught good things. He taught people how to live properly. Others might say, well, actually, he's just a story character in a book, a bit like, I come from Nottingham, a bit like Robin Hood. a bit of truth, but a huge amount of exaggeration. Or they might say, he's a prophet. He was a good teacher who taught things. If you asked the Jews, they'd say he was a prophet. If you asked the Muslims, they would say he was a great prophet. Actually, if you ask some Jews, they might debate whether he was a prophet, but I'm sure some of them acknowledged him. If you ask the Muslims, and if you go to the Muslim scriptures, the Quran, you will find them talking about Jesus as being a great prophet, but Muhammad is even greater. On the other hand, some people might say he was an alien out of space. And at the point of time when he rose from the dead, all that happened was he went back up in his spaceship. Now, Peter himself was asked by Jesus, who am I? Peter had grasped that actually Jesus was more than just God's messenger as a prophet. He could see there was something different. And he actually saw Jesus as God's appointed one, the promised king. That all the Jews of then and even the Jews of today are waiting for God to send them a really special king who will re-establish God's kingdom on earth. It will be kingship. The king will be God's representative. Everything will happen because God's in it. Jews today are still waiting for that day to happen. For those of us who are Christians in church here today, we know it happened many years ago, but in a slightly different way. Because they were expecting this Messiah to come and re-establish the kingdom of Israel, to release them from the oppression of the Romans. So Peter had grasped that Jesus was more than God's messenger. He was more than a prophet, and he saw Jesus as God's appointed one, the promised king. It wouldn't be until later that Peter, like Paul, as we see in the letter to Philippians, would recognise that Jesus was in nature God, but had taken on human likeness. Or as expressed in one of the really modern translations, the Message, he had equal status with God, but chose to set aside the privileges of deity and become human. I'm not sure why anybody would want to come like me, or Alison, or anybody else out there, but Jesus took on humanity, actually without our failings. He was perfect. So why did Jesus, after he acknowledged Peter was right, and has spoken of how God revealed this to Peter, ordered his disciples, don't tell anyone I'm the Messiah. It's odd. Hang on. Surely, doesn't he want everybody to know who he is? The problem is, if they'd gone and told the Jews who he was, the Messiah that they were expecting, remember, was going to be somebody who was going to liberate them from the Romans. So suddenly they'd want to join his army, and they'd want to fight and kick the Romans out of Jerusalem. He needed them to find out for themselves and also to find out that was something much greater than they were expecting. So, Jesus had come to reveal God's love to all. That's the greater. To reach those who hurt. To be with those in society at the time for whom there was little respect. Jesus would finally fulfill God's plan for him by going to the cross in our place, dying and rising again so that we might be forgiven and could once again come to give God our thanks and praise and have the promise of eternal life. Peter and the other disciples came to fully understand who Jesus was after his death and resurrection. They gradually knew, but the resurrection affirmed that Jesus was God's son. He was more than human. Paul, the writer of the letter to the Philippians, became a follower of Jesus after his death. A death and resurrection that finally revealed who Jesus was. As Paul explains, that though Jesus had the same status as God, in other words, was God, he chose to take on human form. taking on the very nature of a servant, somebody who served others, being made in human likeness. Jesus didn't just appear on the first Christmas day. He'd always been there with God. The opening to John's Gospel refers to Jesus as the Word and says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So, why did Jesus take on the nature of humanity? Why was he born of Mary? Something that we celebrate in just over a month's time. But there was much more to it. Because he found an appearance as a man. He humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on the cross. Yet, if Jesus had gone on the cross and died, Bible closed, that's the end, actually that wouldn't really have been fulfilling what God had planned. That would have made Jesus probably an extremely good prophet, a good man. I mean, that's what would have happened to us if we'd gone on the cross, we'd have died. But no, Jesus rose from the dead. And suddenly Peter and his disciples, the other disciples thought, ah, now we've got it. He really is special. He actually is God. Only God can rise from the dead. And so that's why Paul in his writing says that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what should be our response? Remember, Jesus died on the cross so that we might be forgiven. He died and rose again. God came down in humanity, bore the pain of the cross so that we might be forgiven and we might come to God. I go back to Harry and Amy for a minute. As they grow up, they will have a loving family and one that is there when they fall over to pick them up. And when they start to find that life isn't all about playing with their toys and expecting to be fed, that life itself can actually be quite hard, their parents will be there to help them. When they do something wrong, oh, but of course they're never going to do anything wrong, are they? No, unfortunately, as humanity, it seems to be a done thing. We do things wrong. When they do something wrong, they will go to their parents, their teachers, their friends and say, "Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Can you forgive me?" And any loving parent, family, friend, whatever, teacher will say, "That's fine." They may need to learn, and I guess the parents are probably trying to decide what to do, although I would guess that Evie's parents have already decided what she does when occasionally she does something wrong. Then they need to be what I keep hearing about on the television, somewhere that they sit just to reflect 1 minute for each year of their age. You may have something totally different. Sorry, I can't tell you what I did. I wasn't blessed that way. But I know that's one of the ways you do. But it's only reflecting. It's not that you're not going to forgive them. It's just that they need to learn not to make the same mistake. So if they're going to come to you and ask for forgiveness, and a loving parent knows how to respond to their children, even more does God through all that Jesus has done for us. God waits for us to turn to him and to ask to be forgiven. He waits for us to ask him to help us in all that we do. One thing for sure is that if we go to Jesus and ask for his forgiveness, he will respond. He will forgive us. Didn't die on the cross for nothing. So if God's come on earth in human form, gone all the way to taking the pain of the cross and dying and rising again, what should our response be? Thank him. We can do that in praying to him and thanking him for all that he has done. We can also do that, as we have been doing and will do, in singing God's praises, in declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, if any of that has spoken to you and it's beginning to sound something slightly different and something you want to explore more, do speak to Nick or me after the service, because there will be opportunities in Woodley to explore and find out more about what Christianity is about in the new year. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us. We thank you, Father, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are three in one. And we pray that we will come to you and acknowledge who you are. Amen.